so blessed that you're here today. A couple things that we did not make mention of. Do not forget, October 11th, 7 o'clock p.m., we're going to have a fellowship. You can sign up in the foyer, so please make sure that you come. We're going to talk about the new building. We're going to talk about all the wonderful things that God has done for us. It's going to be a great time, so please come and be a part. And also, because of the October 11th, there will be no ladies on October 12th, because normally we do the ladies event on the 12th. So because of the one, we're not going to do the other. So don't sign up for the ladies event, but do sign up for the fellowship on October 11th. Could I get the little clicker from you? Okay. Well, if you're a guest with us, we are grateful and gracious that you're here today. And we're going to talk about something today. And, you know, you're going to probably look at your wife and go, gosh, I came over here because we're going to talk about that. I should have stayed home. But what I really want to talk about is how close, it's a question, but how close are you willing to embrace darkness? You know, last week we talked about Samson, and we talked about how you had to be very careful about laying your head in the lap of evil. Samson really didn't know what he was doing. He, you know, I think he kind of got swept up in the moment and found out that he'd gotten a lot of trouble. But today, the question is, how close are you willing truly to embrace the darkness of the world? We're going to talk about Halloween. And I know that that's kind of a controversial subject, but I want to go through this and show you some things that maybe you've never seen before. 41 million people are going to celebrate Halloween. 70%, which is staggering to me as a parent and as a grandparent, but 70% of the children that go out will go without their parents. 12% of those children that will go out are under the age of 6. And mom and dad let them go out into the darkness. 86% of adults that have parties on Halloween will bring alcohol, and 52% of the deaths on Halloween are alcohol-related. And there are 13 million fires because of the jack-o'-lanterns or the pumpkins. Now, I didn't know this either. Halloween is the second highest grossing commercial holiday after Christmas. Now, think about this. Halloween commemorates beings and rights. And it's the very thing that you and I this morning have warred against. It's the things that we don't want to happen to us. And it is the night when the ghosts and the goblins walk the streets. Now, of the last group that was polled, 95% of the group, and they were Christians, and I don't remember the poll, do not believe that Satan is real. 95% of that group do not believe that Satan is real. But yet you read in the book, God will tell you that it's real. And the problem with the Christian life today is that we're not taking God's word serious. And I think that's why we're in such a mess that we are. Now, we know that Halloween is filled with mysteries and magic and superstition. It began as a Celtic festival where they felt especially close to those who had died, the deceased, and their friends. And they felt so close that they literally set a place at the table for them, waiting for them to come. they left treats on the doorstep and along the side of the road, and they lit candles to help their loved ones find their way back to the spirit world. Now, it was believed that ghosts came back to this earthly world. And people thought that they would encounter ghosts on that specific night, so they didn't leave their homes. But now here's where it really gets kind of crazy. If they did leave their homes so that they would not be recognized by the evil, the ghosts that were out there, people wore masks when they left their home. So after dark, that the ghosts would mistake them for just another fellow evil spirit. Okay? It's getting weirder as it goes. Now, early Druids in France worshipped, and it's S-A-M-H-A-I-N, but is actually Swan. But believing that the evil spirits walked the earth to harm people in the darkness of the night. That was their mindset, that when you went out there, that there were evil spirits, and the evil spirits had one task, and that was to harm. Well, the Bible's very clear that Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So in some ways, we're correct, or they're correct. Now, people also thought leaving food for them would neutralize their danger. And that's one of the reasons why candy was given away. Now look at what we do today. People wear masks, and a lot of people don't even know why. People hand out candy. They didn't understand why. We've just always done that. But if you go back to history, they wore masks so that they could blend in with the evil that was out there, so that the evil wouldn't mistake them for a real person. And the candy was given to neutralize, to go, if I give them something to eat, maybe they won't be so mean to me. So the question that I ask all of us today is this: how close are you willing to embrace the darkness of the world? Is that a foot away? Is that 12 foot away? Is that 50 foot away? I mean, how close are we willing to get to the edge of darkness? Well, the question that I ask is, Halloween kind of harmless fun? Or maybe it's a hurtful act? Well, I don't want us to answer based upon emotions. I don't want us to answer based upon traditions. When I was writing this, Dustin, I took a slide out. My mom was extremely superstitious. Now, if a cat, and you got to see this, but mom would be driving. If a black cat crossed the road, she would let go of the steering wheel, and she'd go, and we're going, what are you doing? Or she would turn around and not cross. Now, if you went out to a restaurant and you sat behind my mom and she knocked over a salt shaker, you were going to get doused with salt. Boom. What is all that? But we're like, Mom, what are you doing? I knocked over the salt shaker. Okay, put it back up. Never walked under ladders. And when Pam would take her to the doctors, you know, if you walk and there's a pole, Pam would be on one side, Mom would be on the other, and she goes, no. You got to walk on this side with me. It's bad luck. Like, Mom, it's a pole. We both go in the same direction. Wouldn't walk on a crack. Now, walk in Houston. But she wouldn't do it. You know, and you're like, come on, Mom, this is crazy.
But she had so many of the superstitions. Pam says, I see how come you're so messed up today, Keith, you know? But that's where Mama was. So it's not really based upon traditions. It's not based upon how we grew up. But what I want our church to get to a place, what does the Bible say? No more and no less. Because the Bible is the roadmap, candidly, to all of our success. Now, look at Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy says, there shall not be found among you anyone who makes his sons or daughters pass through the fire. And in those days, people were sacrificing their children. And it says, one who uses divination, it means one who has the desire to divide. We don't want to be around that. It says, one who practices witchcraft. And if you look at witchcraft, it means incarnation. It means where they can turn somebody into another person. We don't want no more building, okay? Arnold, you want another building? Arnold's going, no, we are done. So, and then one who interprets omens. A lot of people think that when they go to get a cup of coffee or they read the newspaper and they open up the horoscopes and it's telling your future. And that's what an omen is. It's literally sitting there telling someone's future, but it's based upon the birds and the trees and the grass and the fish of the sea. Well, the Lord says, don't play with that. But one that really caught me in the midst of this, or a sorcerer, which is a one who plays with witchcraft, or one who casts spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who would call up the dead. You know, I love my mom, I love my dad, but they have passed. And they are wherever they are, and my prayer is that they're with the Lord. But when you and I would play with the little eight ball years ago, you know, you could shake it up and roll it over and it would tell you something, or you played the Ouija board. All of those things are very demonic by nature. They are very harmless because we all played with them. But if you really get into it, it's all the things that Scripture talks about. Eight ball is trying to tell your fortune. You know, the Ouija board, you're trying to bring up somebody from the dead. Seances and all those kinds of things. And you know, there's programs on TV all day long about, you know, hunting ghosts. Lord, I don't want ghosts. I don't want to look for the ghost. And if Pam and I see anything that's on TV that deals with magic or ghost or any of that, we switch the channel. We don't watch that nonsense. Now, that's Pam and I. Also, it says there was one other one in casting spells, and it literally means tying in a knot. It means that we would tie you in a knot so that you couldn't go where you thought that you would go. You know, Arnold and Pete, when they've talked about it, Pete wrestled one night with an evil. They were overseas, and he said all night long he felt like somebody was punching him in the side. And then the next morning, Arnold said they got up, and Pete was getting dressed, and his side was all black and blue. I mean, this is not a game that we're playing with, and this is why I want our church to understand, how close are you willing to embrace the darkness of this world? Now, again, Ecclesiastes says this, when we talk about talking to the dead, says, for the living know that they're going to die, but the dead do not know anything. See, you can't talk to the dead. Now, candidly, if you're a Christian, the Bible says you're in the presence of Almighty God. I mean, it can't get any better than that, but you and I can't, through any witchcraft or any manipulation, bring the dead back in an effort to talk to them. Now, Halloween and costumes and candy and the trick or treat, ghoulish costumes and offering sweets, there's a reason behind all of this. And again, when we were kids, we just dressed up sometimes as you know, scary people. We got in trouble when we were kids because we made this dummy and put paper in it, and the cars would come by, and we would throw it out in front of the cars, and they'd roll over the dummy, and, you know, they think that they ran over a person, and, you know, I mean, I'm surprised they didn't have a heart. Yeah, you were there too, huh? You were the guy that caught the dummy and threw it back to me, right, Leo? Okay. Now, 2 Corinthians says, therefore, come out from the midst and be separate, and do not touch what is unclean. And you and I have to understand that the idea of the Halloween costume, that was because we didn't understand, but the process behind that is that you put a mask on so that you would blend with evil and that evil wouldn't think that you're just a person and they wouldn't hurt you. Candy was given. And the ideal of candy, again, was if I give the evil candy, they won't hurt me. And that's why people today, you know, you go to the door, they give you candy. Now, the kids have no comment. I mean, they have no clue what they're doing. And even a lot of parents don't know what they're doing today. But we're literally sending our kids out into the evil world, and we're practicing a behavior that a lot of people don't know. The trick or treat. The whole idea about trick or treat is, I mean, it's crazy. And it was like me throwing the dummy out. I mean, I'm surprised people didn't have a heart attack and die because of that. But we thought it was fun. But God says, no, come out from the midst and be separate and don't touch what is unclean. Now, ghost. Again, people don't even believe that ghosts are real. Vampires and werewolves and witches. You know, I talked to one today that used to be a dird, and I've talked to others that used to attend our church. They have since moved away that were Wiccans. I mean, these people got into the dark side. And zombies. Now, there are some zombies that attend church. They're lifeless. Okay. Just read this passage and it will take you right past what I said. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it is against the rulers and the powers and the world forces of darkness. When you read that, it says against rulers, powers, and the world forces of darkness. Evil has a hierarchy. And you and I have to understand what we're dealing with. But it says against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Again, what is Satan's task? He wants to steal and kill and destroy. He does not want Christians to succeed. Now, in the Bible study that Trey did yesterday at the men's, it was really good because he said, you know, true, there's a lot of issues that are coming against us today, but God has given us authority. We don't have power over the evil one, but we have authority over the evil one. And the Bible says we can trample upon the evil one, in which the Christian church needs to do. But see, what we should do with evil is that we should oppose it, not celebrate with it. And again, the key here, and give God a hand clap of praise. It's good. But see, the key is if you don't know what you're doing, then you begin to go and do things that you have no idea that would even hurt or harm you. Everybody here loves their children. But when we have 12% of the kids that go Halloween, trick-or-treating, by themselves, and they're under 6 years of age, and we are putting them in the darkness of this world, that is absolutely a travesty, and that is ludicrous that we would do that. But it's a stat. Halloween pumpkins and the jack-o'-lanterns. In medieval Britain, people moved from door to door. And they were asked for food in return for a prayer for the dead. Now, there are certain religions that believe that we can, when we die, we go to a holding place. And the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says that when you are absent from your body as a Christian, you are in the presence of the Lord. You and I can't pray anybody out of hell. We can't do that. You know, I heard a statement the other day, we are a soul that has a body. We are not a body that has a soul. So we have a soul and we're attached to a body, but what is important for us is that when we have a relationship with Christ, it's one-on-one. And if I go to heaven, that's because my relationship with the Lord. If I go to hell, it's because of my relationship not with the Lord. But you and I don't have the power to pray someone out of where they are. And there's too many passages in Scripture that would back that up. Also, they would carry a hollowed out turnip lantern whose candle connoted a soul that was trapped in purgatory. That was the reason that they carried the candles with them and the pumpkins. The whole idea is that when somebody would light that, that there's a soul that is trapped in purgatory, and you and I had the opportunity to go door to door, but to ask for prayer for the dead. Here's what I say, church. Before someone dies, let's pray for them then. Before someone dies, let's make sure that they know Christ or they don't know Christ. I do so many funerals, and people, you can tell the ones that really didn't have a great relationship because they want to do all this stuff. You know, but that person is gone. So you and I have to understand what we're dealing with, and when we embrace the darkness of the world, it will candidly take you places that you don't want to go. Now, here's why I say that you can't do anything for the dead. It comes from Luke 16, and he cried out and he said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus so that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I am in agony in this flame." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your life you received good things, and likewise, Lazarus, bad things, but now it is being confronted here, and you're in agony." I mean, here's a guy that's truly in a tough place, and he's in agony, and he wants someone to give him water, and Scripture says it's not going to happen. And I want us to understand truly that we all have loved ones that don't know the Lord. And I read a book in seminary, and it was called Concentric Circles of Concern. And it says, why do you think that we could go way over there to share Christ, but yet we can't share Christ with our own family? And our family is the most difficult of all to share Christ with. But if you can't share Christ with them, what gives you the idea that you could go share Christ with your neighbor or your community or your state or the other world? We need to be concerned for our people here, because when it's over, it's over. Now, one of the things about it is it says that as Christians, we will die once and then we live forever. But candidly, we all will live forever. We get to pick the place, heaven or hell. But the thing is, how close are you and I willing to embrace the darkness of the world? So why should we not celebrate Halloween? Here's a couple pieces. First, because it celebrates death. I don't want to celebrate death. I want to celebrate life. See, Romans says, therefore, just as one man's sin entered into the world and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. God is not the cause of death. Evil is. So why do we want to sit down and celebrate death? Let's celebrate that we had the opportunity to share Christ with a brother or a sister or a mother or a father or an aunt or uncle, whoever it might be, that they have life because they have prayed to receive that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior in their life. Why would we want to send our kids into this evilness and into the darkness? Golly gee, when we go to drop off the kids today at school, we're sending them into the evil world. It's crazy what our children are facing today. So why would I want to do it any other way? And we shouldn't. Number two is that death is our enemy. Why would we want to embrace anything that wants to kill us? Again, the Bible says that Satan has one task: kill, steal, destroy. That's what he wants to do to everybody here. He doesn't want you to live a successful life. So we are in an everyday battle with death because it destroys. It takes life. And the Bible teaches us that death is the enemy of mankind. How many people have we over the years of this church prayed for people to live because death was knocking at their door? I don't want to celebrate death. You know, we prayed for a young man the other night. 50-50 is what his chances are. I'm not celebrating death. I'm going to celebrate that the prayers were offered, that God heard the prayers, that the Word of God comes to life in his life, and we're going to celebrate a healing and life for that young man. I don't want to celebrate death. Well, I don't do that. No, if you go into the darkness, whether you understand it or not, you celebrate death, and death is our enemy. Here's number three. It honors Satan and it honors demons. Y'all will probably laugh at this, but when I write my papers in seminary, I would always get in trouble and they would have a red mark around it because Satan is a name and it should be capitalized. I will never capitalize Satan's name. Never. Mark it off if you want, but I don't do it. And, you know, God is not honored on Halloween. He is never mentioned on Halloween. Now, we've done some things at our other churches, you know, that one was called Hallowhim, and people dressed up as disciples and things like that. But when you read about Halloween, God is not in that picture at all. There is no mention of Jesus. There is no mention of the Holy Spirit. There is no mention of anything. And 2 Corinthians says, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds. Who is the God of this world? It is Satan. Okay, so the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. I promise you, when the kids are out trick-or-treating and the people are throwing parties and everybody's getting drunk and people are putting needles and trash and all that other stuff in the kids' candies today, I promise you that there is no thought of God in the midst of any of that. And God says specifically that Satan has blinded the eyes of the people. Well, I want us to open our eyes today to go, hey, you know, there's a better way. Let's, instead of celebrating death, let's get our families together and celebrate life to go, we are Christians and we get to go to heaven when we pass this earth. Fourth, people are evil on Halloween. People get drunk. We already heard 52% of the accidents on Halloween are due to alcohol. They do drugs. They dress in evil costumes. They place harmful items in the candy that our children eat. And years ago when I was working at the police department on Dixie Farm on Halloween night, there used to be a lot of goats over there and young calves. And it was said that there was a satanic group of individuals, but you would see a goat or a sheep that was laying across the barbed wire fence, and his throat had been cut. And the reason is, if you're Wiccan or some of those kind of satanic groups, is that you drink the blood. Now, I got to tell you, I mean, that's a very evil, demonic place to be. Deuteronomy says, beware. Says, beware that your hearts are not deceived and that you do not turn away and serve other gods and worship them. Now, the Bible says, man, be on the alert, because for one reason, Satan's out to devour you. So it is important for us to understand again the evilness that we are embracing. And the question I'll keep asking is, how close are you willing to embrace the darkness of this world? I think there's so much more that we could do. 1 Corinthians says, no, but I say that the things with the Gentile sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to become sharers in the demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. And you cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. And it goes back to the passage, you know, you can't be cold lukewarm. You can either be cold or hot. You cannot drink from the Lord's table and drink from the demon's table at the same time. You can't do that. And the Bible says you can only serve but one master, and either you're going to serve the demons or you're going to serve the Lord. Well, I never know. I'm telling you that the Bible says you can't serve two masters. Well, I'm not serving. If you're going out into the world, whether you understand the premise or not, you are embracing the darkness of the world. And we need to sit down. Can you imagine how awesome it would be if we, on Halloween night, instead of everybody going out and embracing the table of Satan, that we embrace the table of the Lord right here in this church? Amen? I'll tell you this. We don't normally get out on Halloween, but I promise you, and Kent's in the back, but if you'll come, we will celebrate the Lord's table right here on Halloween night. Amen? All right. So we're going to do it. You're going to be here, right? Hey, Arnold, how many's in here? There's 160. So we're going to have 160 people here on that Wednesday night, or Halloween night, okay? All right? Don't promise me, promise God. Did you hear that, God? Okay, he heard. Okay. All right. Now, fifth, because God himself hates Halloween. Psalms 119 says, I hate every false way. You know, God is looking at America today, and he's seeing the digression of the Christian faith. We talked on Wednesday night, I started a study in the book of Ephesians, and one of the questions that I asked the church was, what's wrong with the Christian church today? And one of the ideas that we've all come up with is that the Christian church is kind of playing games. We have become complacent. We don't take it serious anymore. And that's the problem. But our Lord hates anything that is false. Isaiah says, rather, you have burdened me with your sins. You have wearied me with your iniquities. God, again, is looking, and the Bible says if his people would humble themselves and pray and seek his face, he would hear from heaven. He'd heal the land. The answer is in this room right here about changing America. So here's how I want to end this message today, and I really want you to think about it. How close are you willing to come to the edge of darkness? How close are you willing to embrace it? Well, how close? Because the closer you get, the more dangerous it is. We cannot mix evil with Christianity. It's not something that God wants to do. And Christ died on the cross so that you and I might live. He defeated death. So why go out and celebrate death? And here's the last thing that I want you to look at. It is your choice. This church, I'm not your Holy Spirit. I'm just going to tell you what the Bible says. But it's your choice. And it's your decision. But it's also your consequence of whatever happens. Give God a hand clap of praise.